a book review. The name of the book, A Balanced Life, 9 Strategies for Coping with the Mental Health Problems of a Loved One. The author, Tom Smith. The publisher, Hazelden, Hazelden. It's in Center City, Minnesota. The year of the book, 2008. Let's take a look now at the jacket to see what this book has, and then the table of contents, and then a section from the book itself. The ultimate goal of those with a mental health disorder and the people who love them is balanced, emotional, mental, spiritual, and behavioral. Yet, living with and responding to a mentally ill person often leads to the chaos of a relationship where the rules change, the dynamics are volatile, and the expectations are unanchored. In readable, down-to-earth prose, A Balanced Life teaches family and friends what they are to expect from those they love who have mental health problems. It offers 9 clear-cut strategies for implementing a plan to support them, including how to assist a loved one in developing healthy self-esteem, accept mental illness as an act of life, identify early warning signs that precede a more difficult phase of the illness, and create a supportive network of family and friends. Each strategy is illustrated by inspiring stories of real people who have put their principles into practice, and is followed by key questions that probe readers to ponder their own situations. This is the guide to bringing order to chaos, providing a framework for reactions to the person who has mental illness. I might just mention here that the author, Tom Smith, is the co-founder of the Carla Smith Foundation, which supports parents and loved ones of mentally ill people. The foundation was named after his daughter, Carla, who suffered from bipolar disorder before eventually taking her own life. The table of contents reads as follows. Chapter 1, Medication. Chapter 2, Counseling. 3, Education. 4, Self-Esteem. 5, Acceptance. 6, Self-Care. 7, Intentional Networks. 8, Warning Signs. 9, Faith. Appendix A, Types of Mental Disorders. Appendix B, Substance Use Disorders. And now we turn to the chapter on acceptance. It has a quote at the top, "Accept mental illness as a fact of life for our loved ones, even though this mental illness does not encompass all of life." Acceptance of a mental illness is difficult for all concerned. It is hard because it brings us face to face with something we did not ask for, something we cannot banish with a magic pill or by simply trying harder. For those with the disorder and those close to them, working the strategies in this book can moderate the effects allowed for a balanced life. And in some cases, such as some mood disorders, there are periods of remission when life returns to normal. But in most cases, a chronic mental illness is like a chronic physical disease, such as diabetes or Crohn's disease. The person who has it generally will have to learn to manage it for life. And family and friends will have to adjust their lives to accommodate the disruptions it causes as well. What is so hard about acceptance? For many of us, the idea of acceptance implies that we must admit our limitations, and most of us resist this. We are comfortable enough with some limitations. We usually can accept that we will never run a 4-minute mile, write the great American novel, or learn calculus in a day. But other limitations we may not accept it so easily, especially in the area of our life where we think we have more control than we do. At times, most of us would like to control what other people think, feel, and do. But over and over again, we discover that people have their own ideas about what they should do. And they may behave unpredictably, simply ignoring what we think they should do. We eventually realize that we have little control over others, or, in fact, over many circumstances in life. Acceptance can be difficult because it forces us to deal with reality, a slippery concept. What is real and what is illusion? Whose reality are we talking about? What is the concrete, definite truth of our life? And what is a fantasy, naive expectation, or unrealistic wish? These questions are not just for philosophers, poets, and pundits. In the special circumstances we live in, we all face these questions every day. We seldom ask them directly, but we often think, feel, and act as if we know the answers when, in fact, we don't. When we do assess our real abilities and limitations honestly and critically, we often see that we have less control than we thought. A sudden illness, an unexpected death, the unwanted end of a relationship, a child growing up and resisting our guidance, a person who makes a choice we don't approve of, a loved one in trouble who refuses our help, a friend who disappoints us, a decision we make that has unforeseen painful consequences. All these real life experiences expose our own limits and vulnerabilities, and we don't like it. Acceptance in such situations is difficult because it means we have to honestly acknowledge unwanted limitations. It means we choose to think, feel, and act within those restrictions. It often takes a long time to learn how and when to accept these life realities. Some people never really learn this kind of acceptance, and few people, if any, practice it all the time. Most of us have to work at it, and now and then we slip back into our old patterns, trying to control people and circumstances that are beyond our control. Learning to accept our limitations gracefully can be a lifelong lesson. Healthy acceptance doesn't mean being passive in the face of life's difficulties. It isn't giving up or escapism. It doesn't mean repressing our frustration and inwardly rolling our eyes when things don't go our way. True acceptance only rarely comes after a hard-fought, stubborn face-off with reality. Instead, it usually comes over time as we develop a more mature response to the things we truly have no control over. Eventually, healthy acceptance is quiet, clear-eyed, determined, and kind. And the reward for this high level of acceptance is greater personal peace and more congenial, relaxed relationships, which make life easier, more enjoyable, and more productive. I might add to this an end here, but add to it a comment. And the comment is this, the idea of acceptance. In the spiritual life, we have the idea of divine abandonment, the fact that we aren't in control of life. In fact, the scriptures, especially the Psalms, are continuously telling us that God made the world, look at it, and how awesome it is. And it's really beyond our control and our power. And when we get into that mode of thinking, we really then say, well, Lord, it's your life. It's a beautiful mode, which we slip in and out of, as the author Tom Smith says. We don't usually hold on to it for long, because we want to control things, and we want to feel we're in power. But divine abandonment, especially when you read the mystics, is a beautiful thing in which we do accept everything as coming from God. And it's not passive, as Tom Smith says here, it's active. If it's coming from God, then let's take a look at it through the eyes of God and see what adventures God has for us. And that often the things that we think are not so good end up being a blessing. And so with those comments, I end on this book, A Balanced Life, 9 Strategies for Coping with the Mental Health Problems of a Loved One.